FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's June 5th, 2017. So, you know, in order to have financial survival to thrive in the new economy, presumably we have to survive as a species. And evidently that's been in doubt since 1970, since the first Earth Day was foisted upon us. And our good friend Joe Messina of TheRealSide.com is here to discuss the coming perils of continued human survival on planet Earth. Hey, Joe, welcome back.
Hey, Kerry, how you doing? Always good to be with you.
Yeah, so what about this Earth Day prognostication? They were a little bit off the mark, weren't they?
Well, there were a lot off the mark. What brought it back up in my mind, I thought this was kind of behind us, but you know, you had Governor Moonbeam out in California when he found out, and I don't know, it was like 2 days after we pulled out of the Paris Accord. I think he woke up from his coma and said, "Oh my God, this is the worst thing." And you know, we're going to have a 100-fold increase in bugs and flies and insects, and dashboards are going to be melted. I mean, he just went nuts. And he said, "Well, you know, if the president's not going to do anything about it, well, then we'll have to do something about it here in California." And I thought it was kind of funny, because if you really study the Paris Accord, what you find out is a couple of things. We had the most amount of money and the most responsibility in it. All right. If every country that signed into that did 100% of what they were supposed to do within the first year, in 20 years, we would have brought the temperature down, and we can't even prove it would be because of us, but we might bring the temperature down 0.02%. All right. Now,
good.
China and India, though, they got a pass. They got like a 10-year pass.
Right.
So they didn't have to make any changes. They're the two biggest pollutants. All right. I mean, combined between the two of them, they pollute more than the rest of the group. So this just makes a whole bunch of sense, don't it?
Absolutely.
So let's just say I believed in all this stuff. I'll keep it clean for your show. Let's say I believe in all this stuff. Back in 1970, we had our original Earth Day, which, you know, on the surface, that's a cool thing. You know, teach your kids how to replant trees and, you know, not how to not intentionally pollute the earth and that kind of stuff. We got to take care of our stuff. But these guys went so far, and they call us alarmists. They call us, people that are fear mongers. So the Harvard biologist, George Wald, who's all over this stuff, he said civilization will end in 15 to 30 years unless immediate action is taken against problems facing mankind. Now, I've taken off my shoes and socks and everything. I think we've passed the 30-year mark, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually getting close to the 50-year mark. And you know what? After we're done here, I'm going out to Panera, and I think they haven't run out of food yet. So nope. I will probably successfully purchase some soup and a roll for lunch, contrary to the prediction there.
Oh, we'd throw away more food than these guys. So I'll go on to say that they said that, let me see, most of the people who are going to die in the greatest cataclysm in the history of man have already been born or will be born before 1975. So I don't know. The population keeps increasing. Right. Then it said the population will never inevitably and completely outstrip whatever small increases in food supplies we make. Small increases. The death rate will increase until at least 100 to 200 million people per year will be starving to death. And this will go on within the next 10 years. 40 years later, we're still waiting for the 100 to 200 million. I mean, look, let's not be stupid here. I'm not looking forward to that many people dying.
Yeah. That's absurd.
Right. So they keep making these. They keep making these. Let me see. By 1975, widespread famines will begin in India. Mm-hmm. These will spread until 1990 to include India, Pakistan, China, and their East African America. Yeah. By the year 2000, only South and Central America will exist under famine conditions. By the year 2000, 30 years from now, the entire world, with the exception of Western Europe, North America, and Australia, will be in famine. All right, 30 years by the year 2000. Yeah, right. 30 years from 1970. Okay. We're almost 20 years past that. And last I checked, there's plenty of food in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but right?
Yeah. Hey, we got enough food. We definitely have enough food. And there is problems with starvation on the planet, but it has nothing to do with the quantity of food. There's more than enough food to feed the entire population. It's all political. That's why we have it.
And they suggested the last one, I mean, they do a bunch of it, but the one you'll appreciate, said, this is, again, from the Harvard professor, the world has been chilling sharply for about 20 years. If the present trends continue, the world will be 4 degrees colder by a global mean temperature by 1990 and 11 degrees colder in the year 2000.
Is this some kind of joke here?
So,
I mean, what are we talking about here? This is insane.
Well, this is, look at you and I. So let's say that you went to a doctor and every time he told you you had something and it wasn't what you had, how long would you keep going to that doctor?
I mean, well, hopefully I would have avoided him because I would have read his reviews before. But, you know, obviously there's a limit to how much stock you can place in these fools.
Look, right? And I'm not making fun of scientists. There's a lot of good scientists out there. There's a lot of good research out there. I get that. You know, in California, especially, they had when some of the air quality was like the worst it was in the country, you know, next to and the world next to India and places like that. But China, you know, you look at it and they took measures to slow it down, to help clean up the air. That's good stuff. I get that. All right. That's where somebody actually sits down and shows that there's changes. You know, at first they were talking about you've been to Los Angeles. It's like, you know, a big valley, and they were talking about putting these humongous fans at the top of the mountains on the edge of the valley.
Wait, the Beverly Hillbillies were going to do that, I think. Right? God, that was an episode from the Beverly Hillbillies. Yeah,
well, no, nobody, but this is real. This is real. You should read. Go back and grab the articles. You know, they're talking about putting fans to help blow the smog. You could actually see the smog, the thick layer of smog. You know, at the edge of the city. It was disgusting. But again, it's not. I want people to understand something. You and I are both conservatives, and we're not looking for dirty air or dirty water.
No, of course
not. We're not saying that we don't need to do anything. But when you get this absurd, if a Republican got this absurd or a conservative, man, they need us alive, wouldn't they?
Oh, my. I can't even imagine. you know.
Yeah.
No. They're just so far from the truth that it's absurd here, Joe. It's just absurd. But that's nothing new, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, it's you look at the articles, you look at by canning the ACA. I had a doctor on a show the other day. She doesn't like either one of the plans, but she said the truth of the matter is, you know, she's been a lifelong Democrat. And when it comes to stuff like this, she ignores the Democrats because
really
to say, to say that the ACA helped people, she said it helped such a minute amount of people. It wasn't worth the change. And, you know, and again, you look at how much it cost. You look at the increase of some people who had insurance at their jobs. I'm sure you run into it with people. They had insurance at their jobs, and then all of a sudden, that insurance didn't fall in line with the ACA.
Oops.
And they had to go to the Obamacare version, and now they're paying more money for their asthma medicine, for their, you know, diabetes shots, whatever. And somehow, I don't know, you and I must be reading from a different dictionary. I still can't figure out how that's better.
Yeah, there's no way. This is insane, Joe. So all of this is nuts, and you just keep wondering, hey, but your state, your whole state is insane.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, I wish they had built the fans on top of the mountains. At least you would have been able to see where your money went. Instead, they're just pissing it all away on illegals. Right?
Oh, and in California, the Governor Moonbeam. So, you know, every time he gets mad at Trump, he passes a law that costs us money. I don't know why he keeps taking it out on us. But
it's your fault. You elected him. Oh, wait a second.
Oh, wait a minute.
California didn't.
Slow down there, Bucky. You know, he got me all frazzled now. The Democrats run 2/3 of every house here in California, and they have the governorship. They actually have every state elected position except for one. All right. So, I'm not talking about
catcher. Is that the official state dog catcher? Or?
Yeah.
What position don't they hold?
Well, the runners, Senator George Runner ran for the tax board. So he's one of three on the tax board. He's constantly fighting and what have you. But I, you know, it's like slamming your head against the wall. But all the major state, what they call the state constitutional positions, which is the attorney general, the controller, lieutenant governor, there's a whole bunch of the insurance commissioner. All of those are voted constitutional jobs. Okay, so what happens is, again, two-thirds, almost 100% of those positions taken by Democrats. Two-thirds of the California legislature are Democrats. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you can't, we really don't do anything. And here's the deal. I think we should be playing in California every time these laws pop up, like the recent gas tax increase, one of the highest in the country. No, the highest in the country. I'm sorry. We should be screaming, hey, look, these are your people that you voted them in. These are your people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they don't do it. They're so brainwashed into believing that the only good legislator is a Democrat. It doesn't leave room for reality. You know what I'm saying?
They give them stuff, right? They give them free stuff.
That's true. There's a lot of free stuff going through there. Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you have an overly generous parent. You know, the last thing you want to do is move out of the house, right? You're getting everything for free.
Yep.
Madness, huh?
Yep.
Madness.
It is. It is just craziness.
And I hear you guys have in a official month of mourning in California, you've lowered the flags to half staff because Trump made the mistake, the fatal mistake for humanity of pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord. And by the way, do you know how much the U.S. contributed to the Global Climate Fund last year to help reduce climate change?
You know what? You got me on that one. No,
I will how tell much? You. $1 billion. Do you know how much the rest of the world contributed? Take a wild
combined,
guess.
Combined?
Combined.
All right, but $212.72.
Well, you're $212.72 off. $0. It was just up to the U.S., who is the cleanest country on earth. The World Health Organization just said the cleanest, least polluted country on earth, other than a bunch of small ones like Switzerland and, you know, little corners. Probably Canada's a little less polluted than the U.S. Not much, a little bit. But basically, major countries, U.S. is by far the least polluted. And this is what we get, Joe. We contribute. So on just so those grounds alone.
We contributed $1 billion last year to the world. What'd you call it? The World what
Climate
Fund?
You know, it's going to finance climate projects every place but in the U.S.,
right.
The rest of the world contributed zero.
$0. Okay, the rest did $0, right? And you got some of the largest polluters being, you know, China.
And India.
India,
filthy,
right?
Disgusting places. I've been to China. I have not been to India. But I can only imagine if it's worse than China, I can only imagine how bad it is.
And the Paris Accord gave, let me see, because, you know, us pulling out was so bad. So the Paris Accord gave, let me see, because America's doing, you said the U.S. was, it was stated that the U.S. has some of the cleanest.
Yeah, the World Health Organization just came out today that it's the least polluted major country in the world.
Least polluted major country. So I'm just trying to put these facts down on paper here. So we pull out of the Paris Accord, you know, and we're the big bad guys because we're going to make pollution worse. Yet we paid $1 billion into it last year ourselves. The rest of the countries paid zero. According to the Paris Accord, China and India both get a pass on the clean air stuff.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me. I can see where Trump has done the worst thing. No, what is it with these bad deals that Mr. Oblamo constantly put through?
Yeah, well, he thought we owed the world a debt, and he was determined that we were going to pay it, whether we owed it or not. And here we are, $1 billion. Well, $1 billion here, $1 billion there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money, Joe.
You think that Mr. Obama read the book, The Art of the Deal, and then did everything at 180 degrees?
He read the book, The Art of the Sucker, and he did everything that was in that book, and he succeeded beyond his wildest dreams. Ridiculous.
Right. What was the other one? You probably know more about it than I do, but the TPP that we pulled out of?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was... Not China wasn't going to be in it, but it would just basically give up sovereignty over a lot of U.S. Functions, giving it to an ultra-national body, and China could join it just by a vote of the majority vote of the members, who many are China is their biggest trading partner. So, of course, they're going to vote to let China in, and then China's, you know, Forget it. It was such a stupid thing.
Well, but it's, like I said, the art of the deal, Obama probably wrote notes and said, okay, we won't do that. We won't do that. We're going to do 180 degrees. Everything it says in this book, we're going to go to 180 degrees in the other direction. But
hey, you know what my mama said, as far as Goff would say, stupid is as stupid does.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, and to finish up along those lines, it's just amazing to me on a regular basis how the Democrats, so they lost in November. They lost all those seats over the 8 years. Most of it was because they were pushing too far to the left. They had forgotten their base, and they've lost special elections since the November election.
Yeah.
Right.
Two of them.
They keep losing them. And what's their thought process? How do they make this better? Go further to the left.
Yeah. If at first you don't succeed, do whatever is causing you to fail, more of it. Mm-hmm. And they've been masters at it. And now we've got this one coming up in Georgia that they've like staked everything on. And in all likelihood, they're going to lose because Pajama Boy is the guy who's running. He doesn't even live in the district that he's running in, so he can't vote for himself because he's not a registered voter there. But he's their great hope. You know who I'm talking about, Pajama Boy?
Remember
that kid?
Yeah.
Osman, his name was. And can you make this stuff up?
No, but you know what? I don't understand. You know, I met with a group of parents a few weeks ago, and they're all Democrats, and they live here in California, and they want to know from a school board standpoint what we could do, okay, to help them, because they were not happy with what their people were doing at the state level.
No.
And I just told them point blank across the table, Kerry, said, look, this is your tribe. Yeah,
don't
These
blame
are your
me.
People.
Don't blame me.
Yeah.
I didn't vote for the bastards.
school boards, for all intents and purposes, we are rubber stamp organizations.
Of course.
So I said, I'd love to help you. I can't do anything for you. We don't run any of this
elect
stuff.
Me governor. Yeah, right. Yeah.
There you go. Elect me governor.
Yeah, I see a campaign in your future, Joe.
Oh, yeah, no, they can't handle it. Listen, I'm embroiled in a little battle with locals over some statements I've made over the last year, and calling a recent town hall meeting. I said, look, there were the adults were acting like 17-year-old brats. And they said, well, you're on a school board. How can you call people 17-year-old brats? It's like, get over yourselves. If you have teenagers, you know, teenagers can act like brats sometimes. Let's stop playing a political correct game, you know?
I once called at a town board meeting, I called the town council a bunch of parasites because they had voted themselves free lifetime health benefits if they had made it to two elections. And man, I can't tell you, you can't even imagine the garbage I got after that. I mean, man, you would think that I had burned the flag in front of, in front of some liberals. No, actually, they would have been happy. But you know what I'm saying? They were livid. I mean, I got like blasted in the newspaper. I mean, they were just after me, but I stand by what I said. They were parasites. And so are these guys. They're parasites. So until the people of California decide that they've had enough and they don't want to be treated as milk cows any longer, you know what?
Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen here.
The problem is they've been taught that the Republicans are worse. Okay. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. They have been taught that the Republicans are worse, and you don't want the Republicans in there because, and I'm thinking to myself, show me where we've been worse.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really, you look at the stuff that we're putting out there, how we want to work. You know, I sat with a communications director for the Democrats in a region the other day, yesterday, actually. And she looked at me after the meeting. She said, wouldn't it be great if we all could get along like this?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, but we can't, because your people and mine are teaching everybody that the other side is the devil. And until that stops, we're not going to be able to come together. It's just not going to work.
Yeah. Oh, it's lunacy what's happened. The division, totally unnecessary. Look, there's things that are more important than winning elections and keeping power, and that is the overall health and viability of the country. Yeah. And yet, they just don't get it, or they don't care, whatever the case is.
You're the finance guy. You hear these people all the time say, if America would come together as a whole, we could do one payer or single payer healthcare. And I'm going, you know, that's great. And maybe you're right if you tax the crud out of everybody. But really look at third world nations that have single payer healthcare. Really tell me, you know, Canada, the civilized nation, go look at who's filling the hospitals just south of the border. They're Canadians. They can't get the help they need.
They're online. They got these endless queues, as they they call them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could die by the time they you get an MRI or whatever, right?
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more than sucks because somebody is peddling. Look, I don't want to put my family stuff out there, but I've got a family member who now pays I don't have all my socks off. One, two, three, almost four times medication that she needs for her daughter after Obamacare.
Wow. Well, okay? One good thing is you're close to Mexico. So you can just go over the border and buy it there.
Yeah.
These pharmacias all over, you know?
I'd be afraid to go to Mexico because they'd probably lock me up for whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, somebody would find a reason to lock me up and be all over for me.
You get mistaken for Trump. You kind of look similar.
Oh, I'm okay with that, though. Right? You know what's funny? People always say that. You say, you're a Trump supporter. I go, okay, I'm a country supporter.
Right.
And I wish you guys would figure out he didn't get elected to do what the Dems were doing. He got elected to do all the things that he said that he was, you know, what he was talking about on the campaign trail. Why are you upset that he's doing? And maybe that's a mental thing. Why are you upset that he's actually doing what he said he was going to do? I'm confused.
And his own party is confused as well that he's actually trying to do.
Yeah.
They're more against him. But push comes to shove, my prediction is most of his agenda will go through because the Republican Party will be destroyed, as is the Democratic Party in the process of being destroyed. Both parties will cease to exist, but the Republicans will cease to exist if they torpedo his agenda. They can slow it down a little. And don't forget, he didn't get elected because he was a quitter. And look, he had everybody telling him, don't pull out of the Paris Accord. It's going to be bad PR. You know, his wife, not his wife, I don't know what Melania thought, but his daughter Ivanka, his son-in-law Jared Kushner, Gary Cohn, his budget director Gary Cohn, or
can you see him getting up and sitting at the table and going, "Look, I didn't get elected to do what looks right. I got elected to do the right thing."
Yeah.
Okay. And I know this is uncomfortable for you guys. I mean, you remember when they were saying, "How long is he going to last? When do you think he's going to resign?
Oh,
he'll be gone in 30 days." You know, I'm watching all this stuff happen. I'm saying to myself, "Man, they don't get it. He doesn't care what the outside view is. He doesn't care what it looks like."
Hey, he's basically everyone hates him. It's Trump against the world. Don't ever think it's anything else but that. Trump against the world. And like, by all rights, he shouldn't be in the White House now. The fact that he's there says it all. And that's
volumes. It says volumes, doesn't it?
Yeah. You can't say, well, he's not going to do it because he's there. He shouldn't be, by all rights. Nate Silver, you know, by all statistics, he had no chance, Joe. And yet who's in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue now? Huh? Who's there? Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I'm starting to believe, you know, after you gave me the numbers, you know, I got the stuff bouncing around in my head now. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm thinking one of the reasons they've been screaming about this, okay, and especially the European countries, is who's going to pay the bill?
Yeah. Well, that's it. You know, and he blasted them about NATO because they all made a pledge of 2% of GDP would go into defense. And like nobody's done it except maybe the Brits are close. So he blasted them about that. And then Merkel comes away and says, well, we can't trust the U.S. anymore. Well, who are you going to trust then, Angela?
You can't trust the U.S. to pick up our bills anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah. Hey, the gravy train's over. But that's the lunacy.
God.
Of not just the left, but the international left. So, hey, one final thing, the so-called travel ban. What's going to be with this? What are you thinking?
Well, look, if they go with the purity of the ban, they've surprised me with a couple things recently. But if they go with the purity of the ban, then I think he gets it. All right. In other words, his right to impose it, his right to especially a temporary ban. I think they approve it. Right.
Yeah.
I think Ruth, I don't think she's going to recuse herself. I think
she's never going to recuse herself.
No.
Never.
She should, but she's not going to do it. So, you know, this is why I tell my compadres on the right, stop fighting battles that you're just not going to win. And not because you don't have the right on your side. It's because the other person, the other group is more stubborn than you are. Find an end run.
Let's hope Kennedy resigns this summer. And Trump just appoints somebody slightly to the right of Gorsuch, of Clarence Thomas, because I think there's a good possibility somebody's quitting this summer. And it doesn't matter whether it's Kennedy or Ginsburg. Kennedy's 80, Ginsburg's 84 in bad health, but she does do yoga. Maybe she hangs out with Hillary Clinton and does yoga.
I'd like to see them do what they, you know, what he said he was going to do. He puts another hardcore conservative on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And, I think he's good.
You will definitely have a permanent state of mourning in beautiful, sunny California there. You know?
Oh my God. You're right. You're permanent. So right.
Yeah. They won't know what to do. I mean, look, I'm a libertarian, so nobody's really going to make me happy, but we put up with garbage for 8 years that the country never had to put up with.
But Kerry, they don't think
stoically. You know, we did it stoically. We didn't say anything, certainly nothing personal, and never advocated any harm to the president. And here we are, the shoe's on the other foot, but they just think it's too left feet, you know?
But they don't think so. They think it was paradise for eight. They really do.
Oh, yeah. Workers' paradise, just like Cuba. I've been to that workers' paradise. Let me tell you, it ain't no paradise. I love it there. It's fun. They got the best cigars in the world. But it's a really not nice place to visit. And you definitely wouldn't want to live there. So, but it is fun. It's just physically, I've never been to a place except maybe Greece where everything was falling apart and nothing, Italy also, nothing worked, you know? Italy's like that too.
I believe it.
Like Venice. This is worse. You know, those places have been around for thousands of years. You expect stuff not to work there. You know, Cuba's been there since 1492, since Columbus landed there. So come on, give me a break. Anyway, Joe, we got to go. TheRealSide.com, best place to find you.
Yes, sir. You get stations, times, and stories.
All right. And if you got any questions or comments, email me, kl@kerrylutz.com. The Twitter feed is @KerryLutz. The Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Joe, we will catch up with you again real soon.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.